G'day everybody and Happy New Year. Welcome to our first live talk of the new year, and I hope everyone had a bit of a break and good time over Christmas, and sort of hope things look a bit better for the new year. I mean, so anyway, everybody, Happy New Year, and let's get into it. Sorry I'm a bit late. I just my go live button wasn't working, so I had to reboot the iPad and go again. But we're on track now, and so we've got four good questions here, and the first one is from Kerry. I'm having problems bridling my 4-year-old filly. She walks away and tries to hide her head. I've been just walking with her and putting it on. I get it done, but it doesn't get any easier. If I leave the halter on and bridle her tied up, she stands quiet. It's a common problem. There's some horses I meet that are sort of sensitive around the ears. Some have had a bit of a clang with the bit at some stage and got a bit worried in the mouth, and also just that sort of passing the teeth, they sort of go, oh, I don't really like that, so I'm going to sort of, you know, avoid it, evade it. So they kind of put their thoughts somewhere else and kind of walk off, and that's what we sort of come across with that. So there's two things you've got to look at. There's always, you know, a lot of different spectrums you've got to sort of come from when training a horse. One of them might be getting the horse if it was nervous. So by the sounds of it, if it's just walking off, it's not throwing its head in the air and frightened of the bit, it's probably just going, I don't like that, I'm going to walk off. I wouldn't say it's a big fear factor in the horse, more of a dislike. But if it was a horse that was kind of quite frightened of the bit and things like that, you're going to have to do a lot of getting used to getting handled again around the muzzle, you know, touch and go, and slowly bring the bit into play where you just sort of show them the bit, touch the bit on their lips and take it away. And you'd sort of read their signals a little bit more with that. So, you know, so if they get really nervous, you might stop and just take the bit off a little bit, just let them relax a little and come in again until you could probably get the bit close to their mouth. But by the sounds of it, well, you can still work on that. You could probably come in with the bridle and get to a point where the horse gets sort of tight and its thoughts leave and watch for that. And before the feet move, sometimes the horse is already preparing to move. When you see that preparation to move, what you could do is you could just stop, back off a little bit until the horse kind of brings its thoughts back, and then slowly introduce like that. But I'm also going to show you another lesson, because there's part of the lesson that's going to need education, and that's kind of a yielding lesson. So what I do, like, I guess you can get a horse to yield and bring its thoughts in here and say that's the sweet spot in there. So you just get them to bend in so you could have the hand just around and just bring them in and just say, yield in here softly, put your thoughts there, thank you. And you could do that lesson quite a bit with the halter on to start with. And then, but what I tend to do is I actually tend to do a little bit more with that yield. I'll say to a horse, okay, I'm just going to handle you around the muzzle, and with my hands, I'm going to ask you to just bend and loosen and back up a little, and then I might put my hands around and just draw the horse into me, but not just bend it in and put its thoughts there. I'm actually going to get it to yield and do a little four-quarter yield to me, and then I might just get the horse to do a little four-quarter yield away from me with my hands just around under it, you know, just around its face area, like as if you were just sort of manipulating it. And you just get it, and then you kind of soften as that horse finds the sweet spot in there and its thoughts come into there, and you soften as the horse comes here and there. And then you're actually teaching the horse to engage with your hands and think about it, instead of that it being, oh, this is the little trap where the bit comes on and then it's all over. And so I like to do that. And then when I bridle a horse, I actually use the bridle, and I might put the bridle on but not even put the bit in their mouth. I just have it hanging underneath there like that. Or I might get the bridle halfway up and use the leather in the bridle, like where the leather comes down the cheeks here. You can use that just around their jaw and just say, why don't you come this way, why don't you come that way? And just get them thinking about that and centered in that. And then you just soften every time you feel a soft response, and the horse So, but really what's happening is your horse is thinking away, and you've got to get its thoughts back there and then say, this is the good spot here. Thanks for thinking here. And then just gently show it the bit and take it away. It's still treated as it could be frightened at a bit. But priority is teaching your horse not to think away. So I would sort of go to bridling again. And if your horse goes to walk away or anything, you can just softly put it into a yield, bring it back to here, loosen up there and say, release. You don't just fix it in the bidding. You actually educate the horse before you put the bid on, or the bridle on, so it's a lot softer. So teach it to follow a feel. Let the feel go sort of soft in neutral, and that's the place where you can just start to put the bridle on if the horse disappears in its emotions and thinks away. Then you just gently bring its thoughts back with a little yield. And a lot of little things like teaching them to lower their head a little so they soften and yield there. Just get nice and soft so you can manipulate them and they're comfortable with it. That's really important in the bridling process. Just seems like your horse taps out a little bit. So yeah, two things. If the horse is nervous, don't just put the bit on it. And just if you put the bridle on and just go with it, you're not fixing the problem. You're not making the horse engage with the area where you want to put the bit on, or engage with the bit or anything like that. The horse is just kind of zoned out as you put it on, and that kind of will keep the horse doing that. It won't learn anything from that. Make its thoughts come back, and when it's in neutral, soft, show it a bit about bridling, and then keep repeating that, and then you'll find your horse will stand pretty nice there. The biggest thing I sort of teach horses is not just to put up with something, but an alternative. Teach them alternatives. I always kill two birds with one stone. When I used to train horses, I didn't have professionally. It's not like I had heaps of time and people had heaps of money just to say just take as long as you like all the time. I had to kind of do things that helped a few things at the same time, so the horse was sort of learning a few things at the same time, and that really helped out. So we've got Ashley. I'm hoping you could answer in your next question and answer, please. I'm after ideas, exercises. My six-year-old daughter could do with her pony to build a better connection. Pony follows her in the paddock and lets her catch her, etc. But when riding off lead, she'll trot off to the nearest gate or back to the shed at any given moment. It's not dangerous, and we know she'll stop, but just wanting to find a way for her to work better with her little rider. Okay, so yeah, the reason horses, they want to find refuge or a better feeling, so they go back to the last place of better feeling, usually, whether that's be where their comfortable yard is that they sort of, tend to rest in, or they're hurt or anything like that, whether it's them trying to hide from anxiety and things like that, or, get away from anxiety and stuff. And sometimes with little ponies that have been ridden by kids and stuff, there's a certain amount of lack of clarity in riding and things like that, that the horses start to go, bah humbug, I'm just going to go back over here. And it just becomes a habit that when the horse, leaning about on the ground, that's okay, I can deal with that, that's uncomfortable. But up there under saddle, there's certain things that I'm uncomfortable with, so I'm just tapping out and I'm going back to where I feel better. Okay, and a lot of times what happens in training horses is we tend to always tend to make the, it's a bit of an overall statement this, but it's very common that we always make the way away from where they want to be hard, and the way they back there easy is because what's happening is we're going, the horse is sort of tight and wants to go back, so we use more pressure to make it go away. So it's like pressure, 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 pressure. And then when the horse comes around the corner and the arena, and then it's in the straight line back towards the gate, we can sort of just go with it because it's going nice. And then we get around to the other corner of the arena and it's pressure, you know, legs on and all this stuff to get the horse up the other end. And then it comes back around towards the desired magnetic direction and it just travels nice. So we go with it. So for the horse's whole life, a lot of them always think that it's always hard going away and easy for home because there's pressure on going out. And in our mind, we're thinking, well, if I show them that they should do it, then soon they'll quit on the idea of wanting to go back there. But some horses just always stay with their mind at the gate. So we have to sort of really try and curb that. So what I try and do is it's not that I make people say make it hard at the gate to make it easier way. So I don't go make them do stuff at the gate. And I wouldn't say hard in the sense that in your mind you're thinking hard, but what you're going to do is you're going to start somewhere. And actually what I would do to start with on the little pony is I would get your daughter, do a lesson of leading the pony away from where it wants to be, getting on it and just riding it up like you want to ride it forward back to the gate and then get on it again and ride and lead it somewhere else and ride back to the gate and get on it again. And ride back to the gate and get off it and lead away. Sorry, I'm going to get confused. Lead it away from the gate, ride it back to the gate, get off, lead it a bit quickly. Don't just get off and rest at the gate. Get off and lead it somewhere else and ride it to the gate. And what she can do when she's riding at the gate, she can work on acceleration and getting the horse to accelerate nicely with her, because the one thing that's not going to work on the pony when she's going away from the gate is the accelerator. So the horse is going to be like, going when she kicks, it's going to be going back like that towards the gate. So if she turns towards the gate, but if the pony goes too fast towards the gate, don't go take it to the far end of the yard, only take it 10 meters and just get it to trot back to the gate and then go back away and back to the gate and away and back to the gate until after a while it's been to the gate 50 times. She knows, the pony knows it's taken it to the gate 50 times and it goes, so I've been to the gate, she's taken me back to the gate. Okay, I know she's going to take me back to the gate. And then what you might want to do is maybe ride the pony halfway to the gate, get off and ride somewhere else. And just try that for a little bit. I know it sounds like long-winded, but you're getting a chance to get that little pony to move forward. You're not just letting it float to the gate, you're actually asking it to go. Come on, walk up with me, speed up a little bit, you know, listen to me. So the pony's actually engaging with you a little bit when you're riding to the gate. And then you lead it away. So at least you've had maybe so many rides where that pony's moved forward off the legs. And because you're not worried about the gate at the moment in the sense of, oh no, the pony's, you know, leaving me. The horse has gone with your daughter in its direction time after time. But it's been listening to her because she's been saying, come on, you know, walk up. You can do a little bit better than that. And then the pony might start to quit on a strong idea to go to the gate. It might start to go, well, I've done that now, instead of going, oh, she's taken me away and I want to go back, and then having that fight all the time. Then what you might want to do is once you get done a few of those transitions where you could lead her away, is you might just start halfway, you know, maybe 10 metres away from the gate, and you just sit on the horse. And don't really steer it, just ask for energy. Now, the horse is going to turn back to the gate because that's what it's been doing. But when it goes, turns back towards the gate, let it go a few metres towards the gate and then just put a turn on it and just rest. And then ask for energy and no reins, no steering and kicking. Just let your horse fold back, okay? If the pony turns back on itself, just take a rein and say that direction's closed now. And then loosen up and then ask for energy, because after all those goes, you've been getting that pony to energize to the legs and it understands energy to the legs. And then every time that pony now turns back to the gate, you just go turn around and the pony goes, huh, okay. And then it goes, well, how about I ride over here? And then it might choose a new direction and just wander off, just relax and just go with it. You're not owning any direction. You're not trying to say, you know, go this way, go this way. You're just saying, I'll go with you any direction, just not that direction behind me where you're sucking, want to suck to. That door's closed. Okay. Now you've taken the pony to the gate. You're not keeping it away from the gate. You're allowing it to search. You're allowing it to turn back. But when it turns back, that's when you say that door's closed and you steer it back away again. So it's like, if I was to draw it on this screen, it'd be like, that's the way the pony wants to go. you let it turn back and go, doing, that door's closed. And I'll go this way, doing, that door's closed, doing, oh, I might go up here then, okay? And, yeah, just try and, like, try it like that and see how you go. But the idea, I do that with a lot of horses because a lot of horses get really sticky and don't want to move off the legs. So I allow them to go the direction they want to go to show them that you can ride them that way, and then you can, you know, let them search on the way out. And there's a few videos there on the subscription about getting a horse that's stuck at the yards or separation anxiety, things like that, to move away from the gate. And you just sort of, you know, you put the right words in and they'll come up, and there's, you'll see a few lessons of me sitting on horses just kind of booing, booing, booing until they search in a new direction. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but what ends up happening in the long run is there's going to feel like there's a bit more friction behind the horse, but there's no friction in front of the horse. So the horse will start to cast his thoughts that way, opposed to the old way, which was friction pushing the horse away and then kind of releasing the friction when the horse comes back. And then after a time, yeah, your pony will know which way to go. But for a horse that's really nervous and you know, for everyone else that's got a really anxious horse, I actually just go and stand at the gate for the real ones that won't stand still and they just want to go back to the gate. I'll just go back to stand at the spot they want to stand, and I'll just rest there with them until they kind of go, oh, I'm kind of relaxed now, I feel good. And then they say, then I go, okay, well, would you like to steer out and walk a little bit? And then I start my lesson at the gate and slowly build their confidence. And if they go out 5 meters from the gate, I'll come back to the gate and say, see, I've taken you on a trail ride, 5 meters, maybe, you know, 2 meters if your horse is really, you know, frightened. And then I take you back there, and then I go away again and I come back. And then after a while, the horse goes, oh, and then they take you out instead of you taking them over their threshold all the way out until they get really worried. So, you know, for the really nervous ponies and things like that, you start close and just go, if they go out a few steps, you turn them back and bring them back and say, I'll bring you back. I don't want to wait till I get out there and they ping back all the time. So for those nervous horses, that's where you'll sort of start. But yeah, if your pony's just got into habit, it's not so nervous about it, you can do that little one where you lead away, ride back to the gate. But still in doing so, you're showing the horse, I take you home. Look, I did it again. I took you home. Look, I did it again. I took you home. And then that kind of need to get back there might just kind of naturally diminish. Okay. Thank you and good luck with your daughter. It's always good getting kids, you know, going and, you know, but it can be frustrating because, you know, some of the kids' horses have been ridden by kids and they certainly go, you know, they can be like, you know, when they learn to ride a motorbike, is, you know, they steer and it goes, whereas a horse is kind of going, I want to go there. And in the kids can get a bit frustrated sometimes. But Briar, tips to help with canter work. Helping my horse stay balanced in the canter and not drop out when we lose it. Transitions are pretty good from trot and walk. Should I canter more on a loose rein or do shorter bits like a half circle with a soft feel and then back to trot? Been practicing lots, shoulder in and leg yields to help with my shape and straightness. He's getting better, but it's hard work to get a nice canter. He likes to fall on the forehand. Thanks, Mark. Okay, so cantering on I'll just say this, it's common cantering on a loose rein with a horse that's heavy on the forehand. Every now and again, you get a horse that is kind of high and stiff and just full of energy. Well, they'll sort of telescope and lower their head and just relax and they won't necessarily get heavy on the forehand. They'll just sort of start to float. There's some horses that are innately heavy at just cantering hard on that forehand. And they might even be the ones that have their head down. Sometimes giving them a loose rein and letting them go is going to only allow them to sort of can around kind of all heavy. And some dull horses just dull around and stay heavy on their front end. So the transition, to me, the biggest thing in cantering is the transition. So the one of the bigger things that can help the canter itself. So the better the transition. So basically prior to the canter, your reins and things and everything like that. So I'm not so familiar, actually, you know, exactly how you're riding your horse, but every time you touch on the reins, you want the horse to be lifting and loosening through their body. So prior to canter, every time you're picking up a steering rein, everything like that, it should create a lift of the wither and a lift and a focus in your horse that sort of, you know, focuses with the left rein or things like that. Because, you know, there's a lot of exercise, even shoulder in and things like that, that you can do that can help, but a horse can still do a little bit of shoulder in, still a bit on the shoulders, you know. You know, horses can still do a lot of lateral movements, but still be kind of heavy on their front end. So it's really important to acknowledge. So say, for instance, you know, if I would do something where I take the shoulders, you know, teach him to take the shoulders out a little, you know. So, but when I do that, I'd get some shape and lift the rein in a way that the horse lifts the wither as they take the shoulders, just to get that front up a little bit. You know, when I do the back ups, I'd pick up back up, and the horse lifts the wither and backs up. When I come into the turns, so all the trotting turns and things like that, walking turns, you're going to be coming into your turn. When you pick up the weight of the inside rein, before you even get the horse thinking to the left, the horse should be like putting its thoughts to the left side if you pick up the left rein, or the right side if you pick up the right rein. But before you get the direction of the rein, as in I want you to turn here, you'll be picking up the rein like this, and the horse will be picking up its thoughts into that side. And then it'll be also loosening and lifting. So a lot of my slow exercises are going to be pick up that rein, and the horse kind of, you feel the life in the horse come up a little bit and lighten. So all my walking work and things like that, I try and be diligent at every time I'm picking up a rein, is the horse just floating forward into the turn, or is it lifting into the turn? And get that a really good habit. So I would tend to, on the canter, get enough squirt, like enough spring in your horse that the horse can step up into canter. And I would tend to do the canter from a walk or a standstill. I do my transition, especially the ones that are really on the forehand, because they'll kind of get a little heavy when you canter them. So you know, there are things you can do with to get the hindquarter more loose, and that's that shoulder in and stuff like that, where you're stepping. So shoulder in is can be to potentially haunches out. So you're coming around the corner and you're stepping that inside hind foot underneath the horse more. So I think you're getting that foot underneath the rib cage a little more. So you can kind of have that horse stepping over in the hindquarter a little bit before you ask for a canter transition. But if you don't want to sort of get it too difficult or anything, and just to get your horse to sort of lift into the canter, it's just all you want. So if your horse has come off a back up, something I do a lot is walk transition. So back up, slow walk, fast walk, back. But when I loosen, I actually really try and get my horses walking so slow that they're nearly going to stop, but all of a sudden they kind of carry themselves. So some horses, when they get slow, especially those heavy horses, the heavier shouldered ones and that, they get slow and they go, and they get all kind of wonky and crooked, and then they want to stop. But you bring them back and you make them walk really slow, they start to go, oh, I have to keep moving with my thoughts here, but I've got to keep that flow, and they start to flow and walk. If you can get that slow flow walk, then from there you kind of go snouse up to canter, and the horse will kind of go whoop up to canter. And if the sooner you get the canter, the slower the canter will be, as in if a horse goes whoop before it canters, well, by that time it's going fast and it could be kind of plonking along on its forehand. So I would tend to get that horse work on a good accelerator in my walk transitions, and then I'd have the horse connected and slow, and that's my platform. So they don't hot up. I always come back to a platform where the horse is connected and feeling soft and with me. And then I say, right, now let's just lope out. And then the horse might canter three or four strides. As soon as I feel it start to go like that, instead of trying to, you know, collect it up and push it up, or just let it loose and just hopefully it finds a can, and I'll just bring it back to that walk platform and get it connected and soft and loose walking. And then I'll say, now step back up again. And then what tends to happen is the horses might go 5 meters kind of okay. You'll feel them like go, ooh, and then they just fall apart. Then next time they might go 6, and then all of a sudden, but you don't allow them to find that heavy canter. But if all your work habitually in that horse is, don't put weight on your front like you normally do, then over time, forget about the canter. Over time, that horse starts to go, oh, I'm actually a lot more balanced, and I'm using my weight more equally over my quarters, opposed to putting it all over the front all the time. And they're starting to take more weight back on their hind quarter in all their work. And, you know, because there's a lot of horses that break here and they put their head around, and I think, the people are thinking that their horse is going to suddenly round through the whole body, but they're actually just broken here, and they're not even lifting up in the loosening and lifting in the base of the neck or anything like that. And so we want them to lift in the base of the neck, lift their wither up, and then that top line will start to soften a lot more. Okay, so everything, all the good backups that you're doing and the slow work is going to sort of develop that. So later when you pick up on the reins, the only thing the horse knows, so when you're coming up to a corner or something like that, and that's usually a good indicator. Some horses might get a bit of balance. You take the corner and poof, they just fall in like that. But if all your good work in the slow work's been there, you pick up that inside rein and you might say, now hold off the corner, loosen and maybe push that shoulder out a little bit and stay upright a little bit. Now we're going to follow the inside rein around the corner and things like that. But by the sounds of it, you might just want to get that horse just to lightly step up in the canter and feel good about it first. And I think that'll really help, but it takes a bit of time when they're sort of naturally heavy on the forehand. But all the exercises, you know, that you're doing in your lateral work, as long as you're not jamming your horse up in your lateral work, you're getting your horse learned a soft footfall in your lateral work. So sometimes with the leg yields and stuff like that, you want to know your horse is going really good in the reins before you start to push them across with your legs. So I tend to start to teach them all those lateral movements with the reins without legs first. And then I'd add legs because I'd want to save that leg for the impulsion I need for the accelerator. And sometimes when we're pushing our horses laterally a lot, it's like when we step our horse over, you know, to make it canter with its hip kind of pushed into the side you want it to canter, that you want it to lead on. Sometimes you use your leg to push your hip over, then you use the leg to say, now go. So it kind of means you need a little more leg. So sometimes you can get that hip over without needing your leg. You can have that hip already set up there if you wanted, if you felt you needed to have that hip over to help it canter out over to the left or the right. So anyway, just food for thought. But yeah, what I've found is it's the transition. You'll get a bit of spring and a bit of elevation and you get a few strides at it, and then the horse... It's very hard to pick a horse back up that falls apart. And there are some really good riders that can really kind of get them up and, you know, work here, work here, work here, work here until the horse gets it. But what I tend to do is don't let them feel like they can canter on the forehand. Don't, you know, stop them before they get too heavy. Anyway, thank you for that question. It's a good one. Burn. Hi, Mark. How can I help my horse pick up his feet in the backup? That's a hard one. He drags his back feet. I'm guessing it might be a little creamy horse that's doing that, the Palomino. If I ask for more energy, I get it, but he doesn't pick his feet up. He just drags back faster. We have good straightness and can change directions, but the dragging continues. Where I've had a bit, and I think you might have watched this... you would have been there at the How Long Clinic when I was doing a little bit of this, because it is common, the not dragging the feet. And some horses just naturally, innately do it. And some people will say, and I would say the same as try this, try that. I think you're going to come, you know, try a few different angles for this one. One of them might be, you know, backing over things that make him have to pick up his feet. So, you know, set up poles and set them up, you know, at a good distance. So every footfall he has to pick up over that pole. He won't like take him out in the paddock where it's kind of, you know, sort of grass that he doesn't want to drag his feet through and ask him to, well, you know, whatever it may be, set it up so, you know, in that sort of natural environment that you're riding him or on the ground, is that he doesn't have that nice easy surface just to sort of, you know, drag his feet all the time. So that's one way you can sort of start to get them to think about their feet and pick them up. The hardest thing is when he goes back to normal ground, he's going to be like, oh, let's just shuffle back. The other thing is I would try this, is I would try and put a little more, because life, sometimes though he might be going faster, sometimes they go faster and they still drag along. So what I'd be looking at is, this is where I'd use the flag, but if it's him, he's going to be, I'll feel your pain on this, as he gets a little dull to the flag because he doesn't have that lift in him. But for other people that are sort of on this same question, it's another area that I'd be looking into, is I teach the horse to think backwards. So I put the flag up above the hip and I'll take a little feel and I'll wave that sort of flag and I'll pop it a little bit and the horse will go, whoop, what was that? And it looks back up through the flag, thinks backwards, but you see it kind of lift because it goes, oh, I'm aware. And then sometimes that helps them sort of want to pick up, if instead of just backing them and then just scratching back like that, they'll pick up and then they might go to push, but if they push, they'll know the door's closed. So then they'll actually, instead of you putting any weight on their nose, they'll actually learn to back up. And I did a lot of that. I did a bit of that actually while Kelly was riding a horse at the Hairline Clinic that you're at, where I stood behind her with the flag and popped it, and her horse lifted and started to lift, and that was more to get her horse's wither up, but the horse had to have enough awareness to feel on what Kelly was asking. And that's a little bit like, you know, horses that are a bit shuffly. Sometimes I've had that help the shuffly horses because they've put a bit of awareness and life into them and then they've sort of picked up and stepped back. Because, yeah, a lot of horses, they'll just go back faster dragging their feet. And the other thing, which is you'd probably do a lot of this one, is the hindquarter yield. So when a horse does a forward hindquarter yield, it does not drag its feet. It picks a foot up and steps it over, if it's going forward, in front of the other foot, like that. Okay. And I'll go back if you can remember, because I know you were there. There was a horse at the clinic, a bay horse, that had a lot of trouble, really braced in its hind back feet, kind of quite bowy, and wasn't picking up nicely in the back up and wasn't pivoting nicely on that inside hind foot because it sort of lock it down a little bit. And that's where sort of, you know, this will come into play for horses like that too. But so what you're doing is you're teaching your horse to do a nice, soft, loose hindquarter yield where it's going forward and stepping over to indirect rein, in your hand. You can do it on the ground. And then you'll do it like in increments, instead of, you know, because it's very hard on horses to push them back and just twist and get a hindquarter yield. But what you'll do is if you got that on both sides, you can stand on one side or the other. You can do it on the ground and you can do it under saddle. But basically do it on the ground so you can watch it for a while and see what sort of influence it has. So I'd back. Well, what I'd do maybe first is I'd actually get to a stage that actually you can just about step your horse's hindquarter over without making it lead around and step over. You can just put a little feel in the rein and the horse will step over to that indirect rein. Then I'll step the horse over and then ask a step back. Then I'll step over, ask a step back. Step over, ask a step back. And I'll do that on both sides till your horse is stepping over nice and soft and then taking a backward step nice and soft. Then I'd start to go step back and step over. And then what'll happen, as they're picking up, they'll go to back and they'll pick up that foot. Now what they might do, like because that's their two hind feet, if they're going forward and stepping over, that's the hind foot where we're sort of saying step underneath there, and then they step out like that, step under. What happens is you'll go in a back up, and if you've engaged to say, if you said I want a hind quarter, they'll pick that up and they'll go, I'm going to step it, but then you're back. You put a backward on it, and they'll go, oh, and they'll go, oh, that foot's there, I can't go there, and they'll just put that one down. They might even move over a little bit. That's okay if they move over, but they'll go to pick it up to step this way, but then you'll put it back there, okay, and you just get them to back like that, and that's another good way. It takes a little bit of feel. You got to really practice that, getting in time with that hind quarter yield where you can kind of just lift that foot over, lift that foot and back up. And you've got to have enough backup on your horse and enough good hind quarter yield that you can start putting it together without it looking like a, you know, Battle of the Bronx kind of thing, a big fight. But I find that one does help a lot at straightening horses. It does help a lot at horses with bowie back legs that drag and pull and stuff like that. That sort of gets their hocks back underneath them again. And for the horses that drag, it picks up it, but it's hard. The horses that innately drag, it's almost like there's a you got to really work on them to try a little harder. Some might just releasing. Oh, actually, it feels better to back up. But yeah, set it up so the ground that they're on is not ground that's suitable to drag their feet on. A bit obstacle-y to back up, that they've got to kind of think about picking up. Okay, and that's where sometimes backing up hills, they're a little bit bumpy and things like that, not super big hills that make them work too hard, but, you know, that they've actually but you've got to have a soft horse that's with you, and then do it really slowly so they've got time. You're too fast, they'll get that, you know, they'll get the wobbles and get a bit nervous, but and you slowly get them thinking about, you know, they can do it. And once they know they can do it, then maybe they might start to offer a little more. Thanks for the question, Bern, because it's a good one, that one, because, you know, it's easy just to kind of go, oh, yeah, they're dragging their feet. But it is nice to try and get them to pick up a little stronger and back. I know I just did a little video on Marvel and got him in, he's dragging his feet a bit. But, you know, it's something I can work on. But it's, to me, I think it's because they're not using their whole leg. They're not using the stifle and the hock and the fetlock all in one, and I don't think they're using their stifle enough to clean that foot out. They're just kind of, and usually, you know, if they're a bit draggy, sometimes they're still a bit bowie and those back legs are still a little wider. Anyway, thanks, Bern, and thanks everybody, and all the best for the rest of the year. I know in Australia ourselves, we're things have been pretty positive corona wise but there's a few outbreaks happening, so I don't know how my calendar's going to go at the moment. I'm scheduled to be Gundagai on this coming Thursday and Friday, and then Canberra Saturday and Sunday, and then I'm off to Queensland, which I don't know. Hopefully I'll still be able to get to Queensland, and then WA, and yeah, anyway. Thank you, everybody, and I'll talk to you in a fortnight. Thank you. Bye.